Chapter 57. P.S. Although the introduction dates a year back, the book is only just now issued. A good long delay. S. 50. C. Howells, writing from Venice, in April, manifested special interest in the play project : something that would run like Scheherazade for 1,001 nights, so perhaps his book was going better. He proposed that they devote the month of October to the work, and enclosed a letter from Mallory, who owned not only a religious paper, The Churchman, but also the Madison Square Theater, and was anxious for a Howells play. 20 years before, Howells had been consul to Venice, and he wrote, now: the idea of my being here is benumbing and silencing. I feel like a wandering Jew, or the ghost of the Cardiff Giant. He returned to America in July. Clemens sent him word of welcome, with glowing reports of his own undertakings. The story on which he was piling up MS was The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn, begun 7 years before at Quarry Farm. He had no great faith in it then, and though he had taken it up again in 1880, his interest had not lasted to its conclusion. This time, however, he was in the proper spirit, and the story would be finished. To W. D. Howells, in Boston. Elmira, July 20, 83. My dear Howells, we are desperately glad you and your gang are home again. May you never travel again, till you go aloft or low. Charlie Clark has gone to the other side for a run, will be back in August. He has been sick, and needed the trip very much. Mrs. Clemens had a long and wasting spell of sickness last spring, but she is pulling up now. The children are booming, and my health is ridiculous. It's so robust, notwithstanding the newspaper misreports. I haven't piled up MS, so in years as I have done, since we came here to the farm 3 weeks and a half ago. Why, it's like old times. To step right into the study, damp from the breakfast table, and sail right in and sail right on, the whole day long, without thought of running short of stuff or words. I wrote 4,000 words today and I touch 3,000 and upwards pretty often, and don't fall below 1,600 any working day. And when I get fagged out, I lie abed a couple of days, and read and smoke, and then go it again for 6 or 7 days. I have finished one small book, and am away long in a big 433 one, that I half finished 2 or 3 years ago. I expect to complete it in a month, or 6 weeks or 2 months more. And I shall like it, whether anybody else does or not. It's a kind of companion to Tom Sawyer. There's a raft episode from it in second or third chapter of Life on the Mississippi. I'm booming, these days, got health and spirits to waste, got an overplus. And if I were at home, we would write a play. But we must do it anyhow by and by. We stay here till September 10, then maybe a week at Indian Neck for sea air, then home. We are powerful glad you are all back, and send love according. Ears ever Mark, to Onion Clemens and family, in Keokuk, id. Elmira, July 22, 83. Private, dear Ma and Orion and Molly, I don't know that I have anything new to report, except that Livy is still gaining, and all the rest of us flourishing. I haven't had such booming working days for many years. I am piling up manuscript in a really astonishing way. I believe I shall complete, in 2 months, a book which I have been fooling over for 7 years. This summer it is no more trouble to me to write than it is to lie. Day before yesterday I felt slightly worn to knock off work for one day. So I did it, and took the open air. Then I struck an idea for the instruction of the children, and went to work and carried it out. It took me all day. I measured off 817 feet of the roadway in our farm grounds, with a foot rule, and then divided it up among the English reigns, from the Conqueror down to 1883, allowing 1 foot to the year. I whittled out a basket of little pegs, and drove one in the ground at the beginning of each reign, and gave it that king's name thus. I measured all the reigns exactly as many feet to the reign as there were years in it. You can look out over the grounds and see the little pecks from the front door, some of them close together, like Richard II, Richard Cromwell, James II, and C, and some prodigiously wide apart, like Henry III, Edward III, George III, and C. It gives the children a realizing sense of the length or brevity of a reign. She'll invent a violent game to go with it. And in bed, last night, I invented a way to play it indoors in a far more voluminous way, as to multiplicity of dates and events on the cribbage board. Hello, supper's ready. Love to all. Goodbye. SAML. Onion Clemens would naturally get excited over the idea of the game and its commercial possibilities. Not more so than his brother, however, who presently employed him to arrange a quantity of historical data which the game was to teach. For a season, indeed, interest in the game became a sort of midsummer madness which pervaded the two households, at Keokuk and at Quarry Farm. Howells wrote his approval of the idea of earning history by the running foot, which was a pun, even if unintentional, for in its outdoor form it was a game of speed as well as knowledge. Howells adds that he has noticed that the newspapers are exploiting Mark Twain's new invention of a history game, and we shall presently see how this happened. Also, in this letter, Howells speaks of an English nobleman to whom he has given a letter of introduction. He seemed a simple, quiet, gentlemanly man, with a good taste in literature, which he evinced by going about with my books in his pockets, and talking of yours. To W.D. Howells, in Boston. My dear Howells, how odd it seems to sit down to write a letter with the feeling that you've got time to do it. But I'm done work for this season, and so I've got time. I've done two seasons work in one, and haven't anything left to do now but revise. I've written 800 or 900 MS pages in such a brief space of time that I mustn't name the number of days. I shouldn't believe it myself, and of course couldn't expect you to. I used to restrict myself to 4 or 5 hours a day and 5 days in the week, but this time I've wrought from breakfast till 5:15 p.m. 6 days in the week, and once or twice I smouched a Sunday when the boss wasn't looking. Nothing is half so good as literature hooked on Sunday, on the sly. I wrote you and Twitchell on the same night about the game, and was appalled to get a note from him saying he was going to print part of my letter, and was going to do it before I could get a chance to forbid it. I telegraphed him, but was of course too late. If you haven't ever tried to invent an indoor historical game, don't. I've got the thing at last, so it will work, I guess, but I don't want any more tasks of that kind. When I wrote you, I thought I had it, whereas I was only merely entering upon the initiatory difficulties of it. I might have known it wouldn't be an easy job, or somebody would have invented a decent historical game long ago, a thing which nobody had done. I think I've got it in pretty fair shape, so I have caveated it. Earl of Onston, is that it? All right, we shall be very glad to receive them, and get acquainted with them. And much obliged to you too. There's plenty of worse people than the nobilities. I went up and spent a week with the Marquis and the Princess Louise, and had as good a time as I want. I'm powerful glad you are all back again, and we will come up there if our little tribe will give us the necessary furlough, and if we can't get it, you folks must come to us and give us an extension of time. We get home September 11. Hello, I think I see where in coming. Goodbye letter from Clark, which explains for him. Love to you all from the Clemenses. No, it wasn't Waring. I wonder what the devil has become of that man. He was to spend today with us, and the day's most gone now. We are enjoying your story with our usual unspeakableness, and I'm right glad you threw in the shipwreck and the mystery. I like it. Mrs. Crane thinks it's the best story you've written yet. We always think the last one is the best. And why shouldn't it be? Practice helps. P.S. I thought I had sent all our loves to all of you, but Mrs. Clemens says I haven't. Damn it, a body can't think of everything. But a woman thinks you can. I better seal this, now else there'll be more criticism. I perceive I haven't got the love in, yet. Well, we do send the love of all the family to all the houses. S50. See, there had been some delay and postponement in the matter of the play which Howells and Clemens agreed to write. They did not put in the entire month of October as they had planned, but they did put in a portion of that month, the latter half, working out their old idea. In the end it became a revival of Colonel Sellers, or rather a caricature of that gentle-hearted old visionary. Clemens had always complained that the actor Raymond had never brought out the finer shades of Colonel Sellers' character, but Raymond in his worst performance never belied his original as did Howells and Clemens in his dramatic revival. These two, working together, let their imaginations run riot with disastrous results. The reader can judge something of this himself, from the American Claimant, the book which Mark Twain would later build from the play. But at this time they thought it a great triumph. They had racked their sides laughing over its construction, as Howells once said, and they thought the world would do the same over its performance. They decided to offer it to Raymond, but rather haughtily, indifferently, because any number of other actors would be waiting for it. But this was a miscalculation. Raymond now turned the tables. Though favorable to the idea of a new play, he declared this one did not present his old Sellers at all, but a lunatic. In the end he returned the MS. With a brief note. Attempts had already been made to interest other actors, and would continue for some time. XXIV Letters, 1884, to Howells and others. Cable's Great April Fool. Huck Finn and Press. Mark Twain for Cleveland. Clemens and Cable, Mark Twain had a lingering attack of the dramatic fever that winter. He made a play of The Prince and Pauper, which Howells pronounced too thin and slight, and not half long enough. He made another of Tom Sawyer, and probably destroyed it, for no trace of the MS. exists today. Howells could not join in these ventures, for he was otherwise occupied, and had sickness in his household. To W.D. Howells, in Boston. January 7, 84. My dear Howells, my goons, as John says, you have now encountered at last the heaviest calamity that can befall an author. The scarlet fever, once domesticated, is a permanent member of the family. Money may desert you, friends forsake you, enemies grow indifferent to you, but the scarlet fever will be true to you, through thick and thin, till you be all saved or damned, down to the last one. I say these things to cheer you. The bare suggestion of scarlet fever in the family makes me shudder. I believe I would almost rather have Osgood publish a book for me. You folks have our most sincere sympathy. Oh, the intrusion of this hideous disease is an unspeakable disaster. My billiard table is stacked up with books relating to the Sandwich Islands. The walls axe upholstered with scraps of paper penciled with notes drawn from them. I have saturated myself with knowledge of that unimaginably beautiful land, and that most strange and fascinating people. And I have begun a story. Its hidden motive will illustrate a, but little considered fact in human nature, that the religious folly you are born in you will die in, no matter what apparently reasonable or religious folly may seem to have taken its place meanwhile, and abolished and obliterated it. I start Bill Ragsdale at 12 years of age, and the heroine at 4, in the midst of the ancient idolatrous system, with its picturesque and amazing customs and superstitions, 3 months before the arrival of the missionaries, and the erection of a shallow Christianity upon the ruins of the old paganism. Then these two will become educated Christians, and highly civilized. And then I will jump 15 years, and do Ragsdale's leper business. When we came to dramatize, we can draw a deal of matter from the story, all ready to our hand. Ears ever mark. He never finished the Sandwich Island story which he and Howells were to dramatize later. His head filled up with other projects, such as publishing plans, reading tours, and the like. The typesetting machine does not appear in the letters of this period, but it was an important factor, nevertheless. It was costing several thousand dollars a month for construction, and becoming a heavy drain on Mark Twain's finances. It was necessary to recuperate, and the anxiety for a profitable play, or some other adventure, that would bring a quick and generous return, grew out of this need. Clemens had established Charles 50. Webster, his nephew by marriage, in a New York office, as selling agent for the Mississippi book and for his plays. He was also planning to let Webster publish the new book, Huck Finn. George W. Cable had proven his ability as a reader, and Clemens saw possibilities in a reading combination, which was first planned to include Aldrich and Howells and a private car. But Aldrich and Howells did not warm to the idea, and the car was eliminated from the plan. Cable came to visit Clemens in Hartford, and was taken with the mumps, so that the reading trip was postponed. The fortunes of the Sellers play were most uncertain and becoming daily more doubtful. In February, Howells wrote : "If you have got any comfort in regard to our play, I wish you would heave it into my bosom." Cable recovered in time, and out of gratitude planned a great April - Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.